Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice, an independent streaming internet radio station broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, March 29th, 2009. It is now 8:01 p.m. Central Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Good evening, everyone. I'm sorry. I'm lost already. I am so excited. We have Jack Blood coming on our program this evening. I think he's on the line now. Jack Blood is a renowned radio talk show host. He's on the Genesis Network. He can be featured on AM, FM stations across the country, as well as global satellite. He is not only a renowned talk show host, but investigative reporter. We're going to talk about the current financial crisis and 9/11 and how they connect. Here we go. Jack, is that you?
Yes, Joe, I'm here. Are we on the air?
We are on the air. Thank you so much for calling in. It is a privilege and an honor to have you on our program. I am really excited about this. And when I told, sent out a blog and told everybody was excited. And hopefully we'll have some people calling in with some interesting questions. So I want to thank you for taking your precious time to be on our program this evening.
Well, Joe, you're way too nice. You're laying on real thick there. I love you guys up in Tulsa. You do a great job. You know, we were on the air up there on Liberty Free Tulsa for quite some time,
right,
Joe. So it's great that the people out there can hear us. And what you guys do up there is really immeasurable, really important. Let me just make a quick correction. I am no longer on the Genesis Communications Network, where I was broadcast for about 3 or 4 years as of last, I believe, early October. We are now on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
You know, I thought that was the case, but I was looking at your website. It still says airs on Genesis Network, Communications Network.
You might have saw an old cache of the website.
Yes, I guess I did. I'm awfully
updated.
I apologize. I'm awfully sorry for that.
Either way, I was too hot for Genesis to handle, I guess.
Good for you.
They're lost.
They're telling me. Well, Jack, I'm sure there are a number of subjects that we can cover this evening. You indicated that you would like to discuss somewhat the current financial crisis and possibly its tie into 9/11 and how all that works into one. I'd like to for you to start off with that open focus question. I'd like you to start off and start off wherever you'd like, okay? And let me say this to our folks out there. Please call in. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. We have Jack Blood as our guest this evening. Please call in 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620 with any of your questions. Okay, Jack, take it away.
Yeah, let me start with this, if I could, Joe. Last night, I did want to get this in, if we could. It's kind of an action alert to your listeners. Many people know Luke Radowski, who is the founder of We Are Change, formerly of 9/11 Truth there in New York City, one of the most revolutionary groups out there worldwide. He was arrested, I believe, last night, confronting Mayor Doomberg, as I like to call him. He has confronted him many times in a legendary fashion with a documentary film crew and cameras, and he asked the hard questions, of course, that none of the lamestream media asked the billionaire mayor there in Gotham City. But last night, something happened, and they decided not to take it anymore, so a number of people were arrested last night in New York. If people go to wearechange.org, and they know Luke, and maybe they want to help and make a few phone calls to central booking, what have you. I'm sure that would be very helpful. So we want to remember our friends out there who have done so much to affect real change, not the kind of change we end up with in our pockets after we gave a dollar, which is what we've been getting now already with the Obama administration. So please, folks, go check out wearechange.org. I'm a member of the chapter here in Austin, Texas, and we'd really like to do whatever we can to help Luke and Manny and Anthony that all got busted there. Really just trying to cover the news and ask some real questions of our selected public officials. But they don't like being asked questions, as you know, Joe.
Right, absolutely.
They don't like having to tell the truth. They don't like having to be on the spotlight, and it's just so nice that the elite establishment media never asked them those hard questions. You know, I asked Meet the Press. I watched Meet the Press this morning, not quite the same when my old pal Tim Russert used to be in the chair, and Tim Geithner was on, and as was John McCain, both getting quite a pass from the representative talk show host repeater that they have there on Sunday mornings now. What we'd like to do is today get into some of the real truth. You know, we kind of predicted, I'm not much for predictions, I don't have a crystal ball, but we knew something around September would hit us and could hit us hard, that would be when a window could be open for such a thing. We had been in an election for about a year and a half, and that was quite a roller coaster ride, and I saw something coming around the date of 9/22, or the 22nd of last September, and right around then, we had the first real casualties of the so-called global financial meltdown. And what I'd like to do here, if we have a little bit of time, is to kind of compare 9/11 with the recent financial 9/11, which is exactly how I see it.
Okay.
They all seem to have the same players involved. They seem to have some of the same goals in mind. The attack here is on something a little bit different. From 9/11, it was an attack and a centralization of all intelligence, and this is why the 9/11 Whitewash Commission, such as it's called, focused on centralizing the intelligence. And it wasn't long after that that you not only had all these new laws and Patriot Acts and suspension of habeas corpus and Military Commissions Act, the whole gamut there, of course, warrantless wiretapping and everything that went with it, but we also had a top-down command and control structure, which was even tighter and firmer than it was before 9/11. I believe this is one of the goals. After 9/11, you had an intelligence czar. All the intelligence had to be rooted from the top down, and the various agencies, many of whom who were reporting on 9/11 before 9/11, they heard something was happening. They had an idea, and this is how we know that they had prior knowledge into 9/11, because FBI agents in the field, people like John O'Neill and others, could see something like this coming, and they wanted to make sure, Joe, that they had this under control, so that if anything else would be constructed into the future as a black op or a psychological operation, that very few people would have to know about it and be in the loop. And that really was the goal, one of the many goals in the cost-benefit analysis of 9/11. So we saw these fear tactics being used to demonize Al-Qaeda. We saw the super media with the Cousin Barry administration using this hype and this problem reaction solution Hegelian scenario to centralize power in the financial sectors of that pyramid. With 9/11, it was a top-down intelligence to be consolidated and centralized. Of course, 9/11 was somewhat cheaper, even with all the wars, Joe, than what we're already seeing with this financial disaster. All of the remedies, all of the self-provided solutions by the very people that caused this problem are meant to strip the smaller businesses, smaller banks, and smaller institutions of any autonomous power they might have outside of this centralized group of bankers. So this has been a real coup, I should say, in more ways than one for the global super elite.
Right. You know, what's that saying? Never make a crisis go... never overlook.
Never let a crisis go to waste.
Go to waste. That's
that.
Yes, that's right. And they certainly took advantage of this one. Now, the crises that we had both on September 11th and more recently the financial crisis, they're of different venues. But what we're saying is that They all serve the same master and for the same purpose. Am I correct?
Well, you know, I break this down into three sectors. At the very top, we have what I call neo-pharaohs. These are people, for all intents and purposes, are the pharaohs of today. And largely, in many cases, we don't even know their names. These are the people behind the curtain, the people that work within their own family ties and their own networks to really kind of control what goes on outside that curtain. And you've got people like the Habsburgs or Queen Beatrix and the people that own Shell Oil and many, many other things.
Right.
You've got the Windsor family. Of course, you've got just below that the Rothschild banking family and some pretty high players, many of whom, again, keep very quiet. They don't show up on the Forbes richest list. These are people that are hidden in the shadows, and they are neo-pharaohs. Just below them, you have the Matrix moles. These are the people like the Poppy Bushes of the world, even the Henry Kissingers, or even
right.
the Dick Cheneys on a smaller level. And then you just have the rest of us, those of us out here who love freedom, who love our families, who are good people, who can't imagine of the sick nature of mind of these neo-pharaohs
right.
and their matrix moles and their service who are initiated into positions of power.
Right.
So nothing has changed. I don't care who's president, and we have to be a lot less naive to think that the Democrats are going to put somebody in that's going to change anything. And there we have seen it written out, the hypocrisy, the lies, the obfuscations, the raping and pillaging of the American people and the people of the world, and then the next step to bridge the gap to global government, which they're even talking about on Fox News now. So all of this coming into play, and they could not have done this without the problem of this giant financial crisis, which has given them all the cards in the deck to deal.
Right. You know, and even those people who were supporters of Barack Obama are now expressing much reservation because they were ignorant of what truly was going on. They just took this as a political change, as a change in philosophy within the government, and they could not have been more wrong than that. Am I stating that properly, Jack?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and people are starting to really figure it out. The numbers are going down drastically for Obama's approval rating. People are seeing through this illusion. They understand that a lot of the same people that got us to this point are now pulling the strings to allegedly get us out of it. You know, it's really funny and fun for me now to watch MSNBC a little bit and to see people like Keith Obamaman or Rachel Maddow or Chris
right.
Matthews
right.
trying to apologize for their president that
right.
they sheltered and got elected, trying to make sense and to speak to their left-wing audience largely about how they can defend Obama going into Afghanistan with several new brigades or turning up the heat with China and Russia and thinking about going into Africa, police actions in Mexico. They don't know how to defend this.
Right. You know, I don't watch MSNBC anymore. I don't watch CNBC anymore. I don't watch any of those programs anymore. I'm on total strike with those people, only because they, you know, you realize what they are doing. In fact, even NPR Radio had some guests on a couple of weeks ago and talked about the atrocities of CNBC News in our financial system and how the people there are handpicked to be cheerleaders for the financial establishment, so we would dedicate more of our money to these guys. And they didn't hold back at all. And I was really surprised NPR Radio,
yeah.
which is supported by the government, about 65% of their money comes from the government, was really so so direct in their criticism. I don't watch them because I know Keith Olbermann. What he did was he attacked Bush vehemently. I mean, he was right on. I couldn't disagree with him. I said, I wonder what would happen if a Democrat got into office, what he would say. Now, I don't hear, I mean, I suspect he is not treating Obama the same way as he's treating Bush.
Well, no. I mean, just as Fox cuts slack to the Bush administration, MSNBC, General Electric, that is the parent company, cutting slack to the Obama administration.
Right.
We've just merely gone from one wing of this decrepit vulture to another wing. And I think most of your listeners probably know that.
Right.
You know, I watch some of these shows. Obviously, it's my job to analyze the news. I need to catch these people when they're lying. I need to wake people up to the propaganda and the fear that they're spreading. Here's the good news, though. We won't have time to go into a lot of the details tonight. I'll point people in the right direction if I can, and we'll fill in some of the pieces of the puzzle. But I believe that just as 9/11 backfired, you know, that's something that if it had not happened, I wouldn't have spent the last 8-9 years of my life fighting for freedom and for justice and for accountability. And I could say the same for millions of people out there. In many ways, shapes, and forms, it did backfire. And I believe that this financial 9/11 will backfire just the same. I mean, people are outraged. To some extent, they want us to be outraged and maybe want us to even make a move so they can clamp down further. But it just matters that people are waking up, and it just took something financial to hit us a little close to home, hit us in our wallets, so that we began really paying attention more to what's going on around us. So I believe that will backfire. I believe it already is backfiring, and it's going to create a mass movement against the Federal Reserve this year as we speak today. And I think that is something that they're going to end up regretting. As usual, their hubris is their Achilles heel, and they overshot their goal.
Right. Well, I know you want to make predictions, but where do you see us going generally? Obviously, we're going down the road of fascism or socialism, however you want to define it, depending on what venue you want to take. Where do you see this taking us, short-term and long-term, Jack?
Well, I mean, we've got to really be very careful about some of the domestic agendas. I know a lot of this financial stuff is, we really got to talk about it. We've got to keep it out in front, and it seems to be one of those things that, you know, you can never get away from. People have even forgotten the multiple wars that we're fighting currently.
Correct, yeah.
Because of this.
Yeah.
It has been a major distraction. I think on some levels it was meant to be a major distraction. It was also meant to be, I believe, some form of fear-based mind control, which 9/11 also was, so they have that in common. But I really am paying very close attention to the things that aren't getting a lot of media. The gun grabbing or the legislating of guns out of the hands of Americans is a very important domestic issue. Today, you know, there was another one of these shootings where 8 people were killed in a nursing home in North Carolina. And we remember after the VTech shootings here about a year and a half or so ago, we ended up getting all kinds of anti-gun legislation.
Right.
Now, of course, they're blaming Mexico and the drug war in Mexico. And saying that, you know, they are somehow getting our guns and they need to ban assault rifles, if you're listening to people like Dick Durbin of the most corrupt state in the nation,
yeah,
in Illinois right now. So we're watching that very closely. We're also watching things like the Real ID Act very closely, and this has been funded and set up. You know, this is part of the stimulus bill, and this is how they seem to benefit on multiple levels when they get this $1 trillion to, quote-unquote, help the economy.
Right.
All of a sudden, we find that money going into toll roads, going into spy infrastructure, and going into things like the Real ID Act to get all the computers and get all the terminals and to get all of the infrastructure set up for that. Tomorrow, we have a very important meeting here in Austin, Texas, to set up testimony before the legislator on Real ID before they try to go ahead with that. So these are just some of the issues, immigration and amnesty. There's just so many issues domestically, health care and socializing health care, ruining the choice and to bring the cost down for uninsured Americans, forcing Americans to have insurance literally at the point of a gun here. And they are very ambitious here locally, not the least of which is to turn us all into terrorists, to accuse us all of being Timothy McVeighs out there, which
right,
you can see them doing constantly now in the media. So they are very ambitious domestically, and I think that we need to watch that very closely because we're going to lose some serious ground there if we don't stand up.
Well, Jack, it seems that they are, well, first of all, let me just break for station identification. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. We're honored to have Jack Blood with us this evening discussing the financial crisis, 9/11, and just government intrusion into our lives. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Please call in. We'd love to hear from you with your comments or questions. It it just seems that the government is doing such an effective job. You know, the government is so ineffective doing about everything except for brainwashing the minds of the average citizen. There are, I'd say, relatively intelligent people in my neighborhood. But when you approach the subjects that you and I are discussing this evening, they'll look at you like you're growing another head on the side of your neck, and they consider you a wacko. I mean, they can't even come close to being inquisitive. It's almost as if they've been pre-brainwashed, and the ball game is over. There's going to be the large masses, you know, who are going to follow the mass media and what they hear, and there's going to be a small group who are going to be bifurcated. The whole nation's going to be bifurcated in that respect. And then there's going to be a whole bunch of other people saying, hey, there's something wrong here, but no one's listening. How do we overcome that, Jack?
Well, first of all, I mean, I don't know if I agree with you as much on that as I might have, you know, even a couple of years ago. You know, I did...
Well, I'm glad to hear that, by the way. I'm glad to hear that you don't agree with me. Believe me, I am glad.
Well, you know, really, and I travel all around the country, and I talk to a lot of people, Joe, and just a couple of days ago, I did a live speech last Friday on 6th Street during South by Southwest in front of 1,000, 2,000 people,
yeah.
And really nobody seemed to disagree with what I was saying, and I wasn't saying much different of anything that I'm saying right now.
Okay.
So, look, the more people we talk to, the more people understand that things are... as we say they are. And my track record going back to 2001 now speaks for itself. I mean, we were right about all of this stuff. There's very little we've been wrong on, while our brothers and sisters in the mainstream media have been wrong constantly. So I think people, and you listen to even Glenn Beck now or Rush
yes,
Limbaugh, he
right.
talks about the Federal Reserve, money being printed out of thin air. People have a much better understanding now, thanks to the free flow of information, than they did even a few years ago. It's whether or not they care is the big issue. They might know 9/11 was an inside job. They might know that this whole financial crisis was engineered from the top down, as people even as famous as Robert Kiyosaki have said, the great author from Rich Dad, Poor Dad, a best-selling self-help book.
Right.
They know what's going on. Do they care about it, and are they going to take any steps to protect themselves and their family?
Right.
Are they focused on what the real answers are and not just, you know, going to go from one false solution to the next? That is the question, and we have seen a mass awakening going on that I have found in evidence of now for the last couple of years. We wouldn't be where we are today without all of that.
Right. Well, you know, half the times I feel like I'm preaching to thin air, and the other time I feel like as if I'm preaching to the choir, and it gets incredibly frustrating. But then I receive a batch of emails, and I'll read them, and I'll take them to heart, and I say, you know, I must be doing something right because I would, or else I wouldn't be receiving these emails, and. It is very disheartening. It's not easy, Jack. What you're doing is not easy. You know, you should be commended. If it was an easy task, you know.
Well, you should be commended. And you guys up there in Tulsa, when I saw how creative you guys were at getting out using sidewalk chalk and all the things you guys did up there to bring the truth to the people of Tulsa, not an easy place to talk to people.
Right. These guys are amazing.
A little better than Dallas, which isn't saying much. Last time I went to Dallas and spoke, I got chased by police helicopters, and I wasn't imagining it, unfortunately. But, you know, what you guys do and people like We Are Change, people that go out on the street, and tomorrow we have two major protests and major meetings here to confront the so-called selected leaders in our town of Austin, Texas. And, you know, that's what really is making a difference. I'm telling you, as bad as things seem right now, Joe, they could be a lot worse if we weren't out fighting tyranny all these years. So
right.
You've got to remember that. And the next person that you or I talk to, the next person that one of your listeners talks to, and maybe they just planted the right seed at the right time, that person wakes up, that person could be the next Bill Cooper or
right.
or the next Luke Radowski or whatever, you know.
Right.
So. We have to keep, you know, fighting here. We really don't have any choice, and we can't expect to win tomorrow. This is a battle-by-battle enterprise, and if we could hold these guys off like we have, and I believe we've been fairly successful at doing, because, again, things could be a lot worse, then we're doing our job. We're holding the fort, so to speak, for the next generation to come up. And we saw that big rush when Loose Change came out. A whole new group of people came in, and that was just a big breath of fresh air, as was the Ron Paul revolution. So there's something right around the corner this year. It's End the Fed. There's going to be tea parties all over the country on the 15th. Right. On the 1st, I encourage your listeners to send tea bags, okay, to representatives and to the White House. And let's let them hear us in a deafening voice, because they will back off.
Right. Jack, we have someone on the line. Let's see who it is and what the question is. Caller, you're on the line. You're live. Your first name, please, and your question or comment for Jack.
Hi, this is John. Jack, I want to say thanks for all you do, and just had a quick question for you. But it's good to hear your voice, and thanks for all the work you're doing out there.
Thank you.
You know, I was wondering, what are you, you know, I think we are making a lot of progress, and the thing you say about the Ron Paul revolution and all that stuff, the thing that concerns me is they realize, the people who, you know, the other side of this realizes what's going on as well.
Right.
And I'm seeing things in the news about mass graves being built in Phoenix and Houston and Canada, and coffins stacked up, 500,000 coffins stacked up outside of Chicago. I just read something about Baxter Pharmaceuticals putting bird flu in and I'm just thinking, you know, what's next, man? It looks like they're getting ready for something really big.
Well, look, and John, let me put it to you this way. First of all, a lot of the stuff like that you get, and I know there are people out there like Sorcha Fall, some people, you know who that is, the Tokyo Rose of our day. There's a lot of stuff out there that is meant to scare you, that is meant to, you know, put you either in such a state of fear that you can't react or overreact, get in trouble, and then bring the law down even tighter. But one thing we have on our side is that they are following a roadmap of Fabian socialism, which is incrementalism. They know that we have to like what they're doing. They cannot force us into submission as they did in 1984. It's more of a brave new world order where we've got to beg for our slavery. They've got to use these Pavlovian means, whether it be bailout money or stimulus money or, you know, something that makes us happy, a big screen TV, a new car, something so that we'll love the slavery, the indentured servitude they put us in. So while they might take a big bite here and there, they cannot come down with martial law on the whole country. It is impossible for them to do that. There is no security. That's an illusion. So I want, you know, people to understand that, number one, they are planting stories in the media to scare you. So we have to be very careful about some of the things that, you know, we get that concerned about. And number two, they can't go that fast without blowing the whole shebang. That doesn't mean they may not try here and there. They might not try to take that big bite, but that always kicks them right in the ass when they do it. So time, in a way, is on our side.
All right. Well, I never looked at it that way. I mean, my concern is it just seems like they're gearing up for something. And
they're prepared. Hey, that's going to be an option, and they probably would like nothing more than us to hit the streets, and then they put some police provocateurs in there, and then there's some violence, and then they can start cracking heads and cracking down. But only to scare people, not to control people, because they can't control us all. We saw that in Hurricane Katrina. They could barely control a few thousand wayward, homeless Katrina survivors there. So we have to remember, we have the power, we have the numbers, and as of today, John, we're still armed.
Right. That's another thing. I mean, I don't know. I don't see how they're going to get the guns away from us. I'm sure that they're going to try, but...
Where are you calling from?
I'm in Tulsa, actually.
Yeah, not in Tulsa and not in Texas. They're not going to.
Right on. Well, I'll drop off.
Keep the faith. Stay bold.
Jack. Thanks, Joe. Bye-bye.
Thank you, John.
That's the thing, Joe. We got to make sure we don't overreact. We got to keep our heads. We got to keep planning. We got to stay one step ahead of them. We can't overreact and go off half-cock like people are doing around the world right now. We'll be playing right into their hands. We do, however, have to sharpen our skills with civil disobedience. We have to quit going along with this stuff and draw lines in the sand where it affects our family. Because they do this incrementally, we don't notice. If you look at the laws of driving a car even 20 or 30 years ago, and now look at them today, it is absolutely mind-boggling. Right. And they did all of that a little at a time.
Right.
That's what works for them. It's called the Great Work, as FDR used to call it, and it's a Fabian socialist roadmap of incrementalism.
Right. Well, you know, in a peaceful march, which is anti-government, it would be so easy for the government, as you said, to have someone march who's part of the establishment, march there, have a gun, shoot someone, you know, get arrested, so to speak, a pseudo-arrest, and blame, you know, the carrying of guns, these wacko people, and then we become associated with all of these crazy people going around, you know, with guns in our hands and killing people and whatever. It's just so easy to do that. And
yeah, or
people
we could have
another
Oklahoma City, man.
Right.
Which, of course, we had the Clinton's crime bill after that, which Daschle and Clinton and Gore worked on to take away our rights. Hey, you know, they have to ask our permission. Think of it like the vampire. The vampire can't come in, according to the legend, to the lore, unless you invite them in. So even if something gets out of hand, the provocateurs go off, there's an incident, they'll make it look harrowing, they'll make it look fearful, so that people watching will maybe think twice before, you know, going out to redress their grievances or going
right.
to a protest. But they can't pass the law unless we're going to sit by and be quiet about
right.
it. And I just don't see that happening, Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm much more optimistic than I think your average patriot, having been around long enough to see what they could have done but didn't do because the consensus wasn't there. So this is why 9/11 was so effective. The entire country said, let's go get the terrorists.
Right.
Oh, sure, we'll give up our rights if you protect us.
Right.
We learned our lesson from all of that, thankfully.
Right.
And again, that's why they bit off more than they can chew on 9/11. And the thing about the whole financial mess, it's not as bad as they're telling us. I mean, we're going to weather this. It is going to start getting better. The goal in popping these bubbles is to suck the real wealth out of the country, and in this case also consolidate around the world, create global parity around the world. Before we run out of time, I want to send people over to my website and my blog at deadlinelive.info.
Okay.
Deadlinelive.info, and you can see all of the things that we're up to there.
Okay,
read
great.
My story, The Manufactured Financial 9/11 Problem and the Solution. I've got a bunch of stories on the economy there, and we're updating stuff all the time. And that goes into a lot of the detail that we won't have time today. Also, Google my interview with Richard Andrew Grove. That's Jack Blood or Jack Blood AIG, and you'll get the full rundown about what really is going on with AIG that people aren't talking about and
okay.
how that connects to 9/11.
All right, we have another caller, Jack. Let's see what this person has to say. Caller, you're on the air. Your first name, please, and your question. Thank you for calling in.
This is Jim. Jack, I appreciate your fighting spirit. Big fan of yours. Curious to know, though, how did you make the transition from mainstream journalism and reporting to alternative truth news? What was the events in your life or the circumstances that made you pursue a pretty dramatic career change?
Yeah, well, for me, it was the election of 2000 that really set me off, and then I did start the show just a few months after George Bush was inaugurated. I had a lot of experience with Bushes and Reagans growing up, and I knew what that might lead to, and then, of course, 9/11 happened just a few months later, so I just kept telling the truth the way I saw it, the way I was researching it, and the rest, I think, is history. We've pretty much been out of the mainstream ever since. But funny enough, you know, I reach more people now than I did when I was in the mainstream. So, you know, that's just how it works out. This is something I'm very passionate about, and I hope that translates through the work that we do.
Absolutely. And a real quick follow-up question is, now that millions, you know, the cat's out of the bag with 9/11, millions and millions of people know that the official story is bogus, whatever theories they may support. Do you see, is there any glimmer of hope with, and you're probably more connected to some of the events going on nationally and around the world, with with any lawsuits or international governing body that might have some teeth into it that could bring about an investigation. I know there was that one lady who was an employee at the Pentagon who had a lawsuit. I've heard from time to time about different international bodies that may be able to step up. What do you know about any activities or opportunities
Well, I mean, I look at it like this. It's been 46 years since they shot Kennedy in front of everybody, and there still has been no full accountability for that.
Yes.
There may be, we saw, you know, there was a civil trial in the Martin Luther King assassination, and the great William Pepper, I believe, was able to get at least a judgment there in a civil court that was a conspiracy and a wider conspiracy than that we know about with just James Earl Ray. We might see things like that, but what is most important is that the traitors that were behind 9/11, and we know some of them, that those traitors will be held responsible and judged guilty in the court of public opinion, and that we don't continue to repeat by putting the same people in over and over and over again. We've got Kissinger advising Obama. I mean, we've got Brzezinski and Soros. Why do we keep repeating the same mistakes? No, I don't think there is ever going to be any kind of a judgment that are going to hold these people accountable. But we are just one major whistleblower away from maybe blowing the lid off the whole thing.
I hope so, and I appreciate your thoughts. And again, continue to fight the good fight.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Jack. Yeah.
Thank you, Jim. Jack, I'm sure you saw at least the video of Daniel Hannan, the representative of the English Parliament, addressing, if you will, Gordon Brown the other day.
Yeah. I don't think it was the same thing. They have a Dear Mr. Prime Minister thing where they get to just tear the guy to shreds face-to-face, and they have to have this debate in the House of Parliament. I wish we could do that here, and that people were... I guess a little more loose with, you know, I guess what their problems are with the president. Now, that was great, but I don't know how much of that is just for consumption and how much of that is real, you know.
Oh, you don't know what kind of effect you think that would have worldwide, though. I mean, Daniel Hannan has become an international rock star because of that.
Right.
You think that's waking some people up, or is it making us realize, as you say, there are a lot more people out there who feel as we do? It's that silent group that we don't recognize that may be much larger than I give credit for.
Some of that is posturing, Joe, but it doesn't matter because the people perceive it as real. So, look, as it becomes more popular to criticize or to expose people in top government positions, then more and more politicians and more people in power are going to see that they can get away with doing that. They want the people to love them, even if they are trying to enslave them. They have that innate need inside of them. They want to be loved. They want to be approved of, and it's going to be a lot easier for them to gain power. So Ron Paul has more friends in Congress than ever before. They want to know, how are you doing this? How are you saying this? What are you reading? What is your strategy? How did you accomplish this? So that certainly is, I believe, Joe, part of the overall revolution, but this is never going to be fixed with government.
Right.
We have to understand that. Government is the problem, it's not the solution, so we can't wait for the people in government to right the wrongs that government created. We've got to do that, and we've got to pressure whatever politician, even if we voted for the person, we've got to keep the pressure on them to make sure that they're honest brokers and that they're doing the job of the people and that they're doing everything out in the open and transparent so that we know exactly what is going on. And when we do that, and if we can change to that and then move to the solutions, which I have typed up in some of my work, we need to vote with our dollars. That is how the free market works. We need to perform boycotts and strikes when necessary. We need to have collective bargaining for the people and not the big companies and the big unions. When we begin to do all of that as we go forward, these are honest solutions that are going to take the power back and put it where it belongs with the people.
Right. We have another caller, Jack. Hold on a second. Let's put him on the line. Caller, you're on the line. Your first name, please, and thank you for calling in.
Hi, Joe. This is Tony in Ohio.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Hey, Tony.
How you doing? I was just listening in here with Mr. Blood, and I was agreeing with most of what he was saying, but I wanted to make a couple points if that was okay.
Surely. Go ahead.
Okay. Without getting into any debate about 9/11, I wanted to say that I might disagree on what you guys come to as a conclusion of what happened, but I do support reopening the investigation. So I think on that we can agree, because I would like to see some of the things come to light that were not brought to light in that kind of facade investigation they put up. I would also like to ask a question. He said the economy wasn't that bad, that we were going to come out of this, we were going to weather the storm, and I wanted to ask what he was basing that upon.
Well, I'm basing that on reality. The numbers, anything that says that the entire economy is going to go down and we're all going to be in breadlines like we were in the Great Depression is all speculative. It's very much like, you know, saying that global warming is going to destroy the earth in the next couple of years. You can't even predict the weather from day to day. They just don't know. All I can tell you is that the foundations of the economy have to be strong in order for the usual suspects to profit. They can't cut their own nose off despite their face. So they can't take us into that bad of a circumstance. And the reason I think it is still okay is because I go to the mall like everybody else. I see people buying as fast as they can. I mean, money is being spent. Yeah, sure, it's a depression if it's hit you. You've lost your house. You've lost your job. They've taken your real wealth. You may not have a lot of options to get out of that, depending on your education and your experience. Okay, so it's a depression to you. It is a recession to the rest of us. And we had something very similar to this happen in 1999 when the tech bubble popped and $2-3 trillion went out of the market almost immediately, and they didn't say the sky was falling then. Now they say the sky is falling, and they're the ones that benefit from the sky falling, and I think that they would not benefit if the sky actually did fall. Does that make sense?
To a certain degree, I agree. I mean, obviously, I agree with the expediency factor in what people's goals are. If your goal is to get richer off something like this, you would obviously only go so far with it in a reverse direction when it's advantageous. But my problem is that you did mention the bubble before, and you said that the whole point of the bubble bursting is kind of like a power grab. I can understand that, but the problem is they're reinflating it right now. What's going to happen then? It follows that it would burst again later on down the line.
Yeah, and every time that happens, we have it worse and worse, don't we? I don't think we're going back to the wealth and the comfort that we had this last century or so. I think those days are gone, and one of the reasons is they want to, and they've all talked about this. This comes out of all of their mouths, from Kissinger to Scowcroft to every single one of them. We've had it too good for too long. They want to set us on an economic global parity with the rest of the world. So what they are doing is flattening the earth. You've heard that term before in Princeton economics, right? They want to flatten the earth. So every time they pop the bubble, every time things get a little bit worse here and they suck more real wealth out of the country and out of the hardworking Americans' pockets, it gets just a little bit worse. Again, we're back to incrementalism here, not taking too big of a bite, because that really is going to wake way too many people up. And again, I think they went too far as it is.
Right. I would agree with – I think we agree on most things. So, I mean, like any differences that we might have, I think are kind of minute. I just wanted to point those things out.
We'll see what happens, man. I hope I'm right, because I don't want to see things get much worse.
Believe me, I do too.
I think they've accomplished a lot. And also, you got to keep in mind that the worse the economy does, the worse it's going to look for Lord Obama, Cousin Barry, as I call him. And somehow, at some point, you know, he's got to come out looking okay on this and take some credit for helping us all, right, for saving us. So, I mean, there's another kind of a built-in paradigm that they're constructing for us right now.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Stay bold, man.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, let me tell you something, Joe. What I say here and what I've just said the last couple of minutes, not very popular. I remember when everybody said we were going to attack Iran and nuke Iran and all of this, and I was one of the only people that said, no, here's why we can't do that.
Right.
And sure enough, I was right, and I lost a lot of listeners over that. People thought, well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'll admit, I'm close to the edge. A lot of times it's really tough to make an analysis because they're so careful about how they lay the birdseed trail or the breadcrumb trail, man. But, you know, I was right about Iran, and I feel very much the same about this. It's not popular. People want to talk about the doom and gloom coming and martial law coming and, you know, stock up on food, which you should be doing anyway. They like that. That sells. It's fear, and fear sells. So what I've said is not very popular, but I have a pretty good inclination that it is going to be true. But again, we have to remember that what they can accomplish with this incrementalism is to take us down to the level of a Russia or a China, where the standard of living goes way down, where our children don't have half the advantages we have, and we don't have half the advantages our parents had, and their children have almost no advantages, where we don't have rights, we have privileges.
That's right.
This is the slow incremental work of these global Fabian socialists.
Right, and you know what, it's all the same. Whether we have a crash or we start losing things on slowly, the money becomes more worthless than it is today. We're able to buy less with the money that we earn. We have to work harder just to stay in the same place. It all becomes a matter of degree, Jack. And you know, you're right. No one knows what's going to happen. Tomorrow morning, we may have a bank holiday, and there may be a surprise. That day may never come. We just don't know.
We just be prepared. We should definitely be prepared for
absolutely.
The worst to happen. You know, I have a couple of months worth of food. We're well protected here. We've got, you know, ways to filter water and we've got escape routes and we've got all of that. You know, we can bug out if we have to. But, you know, look, that's just common sense. You want to be prepared for the worst, but you can't live your life every day, Joe, expecting the worst to happen at any second.
Right. I have an instant message here. It says, when you were talking to Tony, who were the they that you were referring to, and why would they flatten the world? Could you explain that to us?
Well, I did that earlier, I believe, when I was talking about the neo-pharaohs. These are people who have been in control, at least as far as I can tell, for hundreds if not thousands of years. In some sick way, they just kind of get off on manipulating and controlling the world. So I mentioned a few of them, such as Queen Beatrix and the royal family and some people behind them that might even be so powerful we're not aware of. And that's why we use sometimes a vague term and we call them the globalists or they or the powers that be.
Right.
So that's what I meant by they.
Okay.
And I'm sorry I forgot the second part of the question.
Why would they want to flatten the world?
Yeah, again, global parity. When you're setting up a global empire, when you're setting up a global government, which we have the documents, this comes out of their own mouths. We know that the Trilateral Commission and the people that are behind Obama right now want to have one world government, because when you have a few people controlling the entire world, it's so much easier to manipulate them. The more decentralized government is, or the more decentralized anything is, the less a few people can control it through command and control top down. And why do they want to flatten the earth? Because they can benefit from every pocket of the earth. We've sold out here. There's no way we can continue in the way with manufacturing, with growing food, with producing things and selling them around the world and profiting the way we were. They had to remake the world, and it is largely to centralize it, to control it. And once they can control it with the technology they have today, and this is something very important, Joe, they didn't have the technology they have today, the global satellites, the space weapons, the war weapons they have, you know, even a few decades ago. This makes our generation, I believe, one of the most important generations in human history. What we do now is going to dictate how the world is going to live going forward, maybe, who knows, forever. So whether we end up in a matrix or whether we end up in a rollerball type of a world or whether we end up in the world that our founding fathers saw for us as a possibility, if we were active and we were involved in government and we were involved in our own lives and responsible for ourselves, remains up to us. So the goal is to centralize everything, and that's how we started the interview talking about this financial crisis in 9/11.
Okay, I appreciate you repeating that for our listener. Also, with with all the emails that you receive, if you had to categorize, what would be the number one most common question or concern that you receive or comment that you receive?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I've ever been asked that, but the prevailing question is, what can I do? What can we do? I think a lot of people hear, you know, the information, and it sounds like crying or whining, or it sounds like we're, you know, spreading fear, saying the sky is falling. And so a lot of people want to know, you know, well, I'm listening to this, I'm learning all of this, and yeah, I might believe you on some of this, but, you know, why does it matter, and what can I do about it? And that's certainly something that we've gotten for years, and people today are much more ready for real answers and real solutions than they were even a couple of years ago. We spent a lot of time just educating people. Now it's time to get people in action. So if we have, a philosophy, I know that Freedom Force International, they have a creed of freedom, which I think kind of spells it all out. Individualism over collectivism, and decentralize and repeal. I know that the Campaign for Liberty and Ron Paul are working on a variety of solutions,
right,
things we can all work together towards. We're going to, if nothing else, incrementally take back the freedom that they've taken from us. You know, a great revolutionary once said, freedom is never given, freedom is only taken. No one's going to come along and give us freedom.
Right.
They're only going to take it from us. We've got to take it back.
Right. If you had a character, your demographics, are you receiving as much feedback from, let's say, the older generation as you are the younger generations?
Well, you know, I kind of gear my show to the younger generation. We play rock and roll and sometimes some pretty crazy stuff. But amazingly enough, the message of freedom that we have and the paleo-conservative message that we have has really resonated with people of all ages, Joe, and I'm happy to say that when I go out, little old ladies come up to me and want a picture or something, and teenage kids come up. So I think that we're really getting towards a wide demographic, but we really do kind of gear to the 18 to 45, 50 year old range.
Well, because that's been my experience, is that the younger group that are questioning more than the older generations. And the older generations are more set in their ways, and they seem to be a little bit more resistant, unfortunately. But, those people, we're moving on, and the younger generation is moving up. So maybe we're doing the right thing, and maybe we are gearing our message to the right people.
They don't have as much to unlearn as us older people. I was indoctrinated for decades, and I've had to work to unlearn all of that over the last several years. So, younger people have less dogma and less controlled belief systems that they have to shake off, less to unlearn, and that makes them ripe to pitch in for the revolution now. But again, we have to have a goal. We have to have a plan before we rush the streets rush the castle and storm the castle with our pitchforks and our torches, and otherwise we're going to end up with another socialist revolution, which we've seen happen all around the world.
Right. In fact, I was just given a cap from the Tulsa Truth Movement. It says it's going to take a revolution. And it was interesting. I wore it for the first time yesterday, and I went into a restaurant to have lunch with my wife, and a guy stopped me. He looked at me. He said, you must know
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. I said, well, yeah, I do. And, well, he was very familiar with it. As soon as he saw Revolution, he knew everyone, and it was kind of neat.
Send me one of those caps, Joe.
Okay, I certainly will. In fact, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go one more than that. I will get a cap for you. I don't have the stock, but I can get one for you. But if you will send me your mailing address and your T-shirt size, I will send you an official Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt. We got a beautiful color T-shirt now. It's like a dark wine color. It's a beautiful shirt, and I'd love to send that to you if you send me your mailing address. Okay, I'll send both of
you. I'd be honored to get it, and I'll make sure to do that.
Okay,
great. I appreciate it.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, what approach, general approach, are you? We only have a couple of more minutes, but I just want to get this in. What general approach have you been using to convert people from the traditional mainstream thinking to, hey guys, we've got a problem and we've really got to talk this over and we have to start opening our minds and thinking more critically, and we have to be dropping a lot of belief systems that don't hold water anymore. Is there any sort of process that you use or an approach that you
use? Well, yeah, there are three things that I think are important. First of all, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy debunker.
Okay.
And I make sure that people understand that when I'm talking to them, because the government is the one that puts out the conspiracy theories. It's
okay.
up to people like you and me to debunk
right.
their conspiracy theories, such as the 19 guys out of a cave with box cutters and the
right.
buildings falling at free fall speed and these types
right.
of things. So I let them understand that I'm not weaving some conspiracy theory, or I'm not just telling them my opinion. I'm telling them how the government or the media has purposely lied and why they might have lied to do so. I also use something called the Socratarian method. This is a method of asking questions so that your prospect comes up with the answers that you intend them to come up with,
right.
so that you're not so smart. People don't want to be talked down to. They don't want you to look at them like they're a sheeple or an American and they're just dumb and,
right.
and they're mind controlled. They want to come up with the answers themselves. So I think that that's also very important. And also, number three on that list is to know your prospect. This is kind of like a salesman's job here. Know your prospect and understand what's important to them, again, by asking questions. Maybe something like eminent domain might be very important to them. And I know that
okay.
happened to work with my father-in-law, who now is with us in the revolution. But he started out on one thing, and we began feeding him more and more information as we went forward. So those three things, I think, are very important. And if you do that and you're calm and you're respectful when you talk to people, they're going to listen to you.
Right. I have stopped preaching to people one-on-one or even giving them information. What I wind up doing is asking them more questions than they ask me. Because I have no idea where they're coming from.
They got to walk through the door, Joe.
Right.
They got to walk through the door.
That's right.
You can't push them through the door.
And I'm glad you responded that way, because I've found that approach to be a lot more beneficial. And then I find that when they answer me, they stare at me and they realize what they've said made absolutely no sense. But I don't say anything. I don't say, I told you so. The worst thing in the world that you can say is make somebody wrong. All you want to do is have them think. And in my program, I just say, please, if we can just think, I'd love for you to disagree with me, but think first and then disagree with me and let me know, because there's a good possibility I'm wrong, and I'll learn as much from you as you learn from me. And that approach seems to work pretty well.
And you can't deprogram people all in one session sometimes.
Right.
You know, some of these people really are so under the Kool-Aid that you literally have to kidnap them, take them to a hotel for a few weeks and deprogram them like they're part of, a Jim Jones cult or something.
Right.
So, but let's, remember that they're people too, that they have, thoughts and feelings, that just like you, when you thought you knew it all, when
That's
you thought
right.
you knew what was going on in the world, then find out it's a totally different world than you thought after doing some research. They, really are coming from a place where they think they know what's going on. So you have to be judicious in what you tell people and how much you tell them. And don't put the Patriot dump truck down on them and just dump everything you know on them in one session, because that's sure not to work.
That's right. Well, Jack, we're almost out of time. We got about 30 seconds. Is there anything, any lasting words that you'd like to leave my audience?
Yeah, again, I'm on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I should be on tomorrow at, I believe, 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock Central Time. I'm not sure which one of those. DeadlineLive.info for updates. Deadline Live TV is free. And I'm MySpace/JackBlood if anybody wants to add us as a friend and keep in touch with us.
Jack, thank you so much for being our guest this evening. It was an exciting program. We had a few call-ins. I'm very pleased with that. Just great that you're here, and I want to commend you for all the work that you've done and your tremendous energy. You're an inspiration to all of us.
Rock an interview with Joe Cristiano at LibertyTalkRadio.com. What a great show. I had a lot of fun, Joe. Want to tell all your listeners, stay bold and mighty forces will come to your aid.
Thank you so much, Jack. Thank you and good night. Wow, that was interesting. Jack Blood, wow, am I pleased that he was on the program. That is terrific. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.